Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Christmas, everybody!
Oh, yes, the Crimbo episode, everybody.
Absolutely. The glitter's falling from the ceiling and we're getting bits in our mouths. It's a bit uncomfortable. But anyway, very, very merry to everybody listening.
I've got bits going into my knickers for some reason. I'm decided to wear them today. It's a bit colder.
Dear, oh dear.
Oh. Okay, well, let's start with our first letter.
Dear June and Jerrica, I'm a slim, hair-heavy guy in my late 50s, but definitely look decades younger because of the way I dress. I don't have any trouble getting dates, although I find a lot of women in my age group are absolute dogs. I'm very desperate, so I tend to aim for younger. But I find women usually so narrow-minded. I love weeing in the bath after sex, and I also have a party trick of climbing a tree and then doing a poo. But really, are ladies very complimentary about this? I'm a great guitarist and I cook nice bolognese's with my own homemade garlic bread. What's wrong with women? Makes me puke. Dan Ginnelbris, Scotland.
Oh, Dan. Sounds like quite a fun guy, doesn't he? And, you know, I kept thinking Bear Grylls as you were reading that letter out, Joe, because we know Bear is a great one for popping up a tree and doing a little dump down through the branches.
Yes.
This sounds like a very fun guy.
He's gorgeous if you look at him here, his photo.
Look at that craggy face.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's seen a bit of weather and a bit of action.
It's seen a lot, hasn't it? With the sort of hangdog eyes, slightly crossed.
And he rightly describes a lot of these women as dogs. And, you know, although a lot of people don't like that term, I'm afraid it is a pretty useful term, isn't it, Joan, to describe
very accurate.
Either mingers or dogs.
He's also sent in pictures of himself playing guitar with nothing on, which is very nice.
Very nice indeed. Very, very nice. Any pictures like that, incidentally, anybody listening, very, very welcome. We've got a wall, haven't we, Joan, where we pin up these wonderful pics of naked guys playing guitars. And anybody who's got an interesting penis, do send that in.
Yes, and his is there strumming away against the strings, isn't it?
Yes, very, very ambitious use of his erect penis. And
looks a bit sore, doesn't it?
Yes, a bit sore, but these steel strings are quite rough, aren't they, Joan? And he's obviously used it a lot on those strings. Sort of banged it against them and given himself a bit of a nasty sort of rash, really. But lovely picture and lovely guy. And I wish you well. And if we hear of any lovely ladies who don't mind being pooed on from a tree, we'll certainly get in touch.
Absolutely.
Well, best of luck to you.
Dear June and Jerrica, at a recent Scrabble night with our neighbours, I went into our bedroom to find my husband grunting on top of Rachel from number 5 with his pants round his ankles. She was yelping too and seemed to have her finger stuck in his bottom. I don't like jumping to paranoid conclusions, and when I asked my husband Brian later, he said he'd just lost one of his Scrabble tiles and was asking her to help find it. But Lois from number 9 says they're having an affair. What do you think? And that's Rye O'Bloggerhead from Nunhead.
Hello there, Rye, and thanks for writing in. Well, it's a tricky one, this, Joan, isn't it? Because, of course, we all know how tiny these Scrabble pieces are and how sought after. And you know,
if you get a good one, a coup or something, you want to hold on to
it. You want to wait for the U and then absolutely score your top scores. And it's a pretty cutthroat world, the Scrabble Club world, isn't it, Joan? So, you know, I would say give him the benefit of the doubt. I am imagine what's happened is that perhaps he's had an X or a Q or another high-scoring letter. He has lost it, perhaps up his bottom, when he went to the toilet in a toilet break. Incidentally, that is allowed. You can take your counters with you when you go to the toilet.
And how do you think it would have got lost up his bottom in that way? Like, do you think he went to do a poo and then went to wipe his bottom?
It could be that, Joan.
Perhaps he doesn't like normal toilet roll. He wanted to use a sort of silky hanky that was in his pocket, which was wrapped around the tile.
All these are possibilities.
So then he's perhaps been to the toilet, gone into the bedroom. Perhaps his pants are still down because he fancies... I've seen certain men, when they've done a poo, they come out and then they've perhaps had a wee as well, and they tend to wipe their willy against the edge of the bed.
Yes.
So he's probably doing that in the bedroom.
Indeed.
But then, of course, Rachel from number five is there.
Yes.
What's happening there? Why would she be...
Why would she be in there, Joan? I mean, I suppose... Look, you know, Scrabble, again, is a very stressful game. Perhaps Rachel
she needed a lie down.
Yes, had a tricky round. She was very taxed, as we know. Ladies struggle a lot more with brain
letters,
and letters.
Spelling,
and, oh, and all the numbers. They don't understand what the high scores are. And she's probably felt rather overwhelmed, bless her. And she's gone upstairs to have a lie down. And then, of course, this fella, kind Scrabble playing fella, has come in and looked at his little bar of letters and thought, goodness me, my cue is missing, and probably gone into a bit of a panic, Joan.
And then sort of leapt onto her crying, probably.
Yes, and so she's yelped in surprise, and then he's explained that the Scrabble piece has perhaps gone up his bottom, and she very kindly, I mean, she doesn't have to do this, does she, Joan? She's a rival player, but very kindly she's popped a finger up there to have a feel around and see if she can feel it.
Now, Ryo Bloggerhead says the only thing that's troubling her is that when she went in and saw this, you know, Rachel was saying, fuck me, fuck me.
Right. Well, it may be that that was the next word that she was going to write, Joan, and she was just trying to remind
like
herself.
Like a phrase.
Really, yes, exactly, because I think nowadays you are allowed two words in one if it's a well-known phrase.
And then she said, I love the feeling of my finger going in and out of your anus.
Right. Well, that would just probably be to reassure him. He might have been worried that it was not a very nice thing to do for a lady, a young lady like this, to have to grapple around up his anus. Does it say how old?
She's just 16.
Right, and so she won't have done this much, will she, Joan? She's probably a young, new Scrabble player. She won't be used to, you know, men getting Scrabble pieces stuck up their bottoms, and you know, so she probably will have been a bit nervous.
Absolutely, she wouldn't know the rules or the sort of social etiquette, and perhaps thought it was the done thing. So I think Ryo Bloggerhead needs to sort of get her own finger out of her bottom and stop being quite so paranoid, quite so nasty and dodgy.
Sounds now, like it, Joan. And perhaps she's been on a losing streak herself and is a bit bitter about it.
But obviously this Lewis from number nine, who says they've been having this affair, Rachel, the young girl, and Brian... What's her part in all this?
I'm just wondering, perhaps, whether, again, this isn't a bit of female jealousy that Lois perhaps was the great finder of Scrabble pieces prior to Rachel, and that maybe normally when... I beg your pardon, is he called Brian?
Brian, yes. Brian or Bloggerhead.
Normally when Brian sort of staggers out of the toilet, realising he's inadvertently put one or several Scrabble letters up his anus, that perhaps Lois would be the go-to, and, you know, but what's happened is no Rachel happened to be in the bedroom at the given time. Lois has gone up there to try and help Brian out, as she always does, and found a very attractive, very young lady with wonderful, clean, lovely long fingers, just popping those in and out of Brian's anus, and you know, inadvertently, of course, pleasuring him at the same time. And perhaps Lois has felt rather miffed, but you know, unfortunately, Lois, she's clothed, we've got, there's a picture, isn't there, of Lois there, and I think she's passed her Scrabble finding days.
She's past everything, poor thing.
Oh,
she's
dear.
A ghastly looking lady. She really is.
So she's trying to stir it up and destroy Brian's marriage, and unfortunately, no, it's a very unpleasant and nasty thing to say. So I'm afraid Lois and this Rye lady. No, I'd say, you know, please just have a bit of decency and stop pointing fingers.
Dear Joan and Jerrica, my daughter is getting married in the spring. Oh, well done.
Lovely.
And I've no idea what to wear. I'm keen not to upstage the blushing bride, but at the same time, I want to look nice. I have a much younger boyfriend, I'm 67, who's 23, and says I've got great boobs and a lovely arse, and I should definitely show them off. He says I should go in the Liz Hurley safety pin type dress, but I'm not sure. What would you advise? Valerie Cans from
Tipton, is that?
Tipton, is that a place?
I've not heard of it. It sounds like Tipton. But
odd. Well, we'll take your word for it, Valerie.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Dear, oh dear, this is yet another rather jealous, rather unpleasant older lady. I'm afraid fabricating perhaps this young boyfriend.
Well, she's put a photo of him in there, but whether he's actually with her, I'm not sure.
It looks rather sort of cut out and stuck on, doesn't it? I don't think they're even... She's not even in the same room as him, is she?
No, it does look photoshopped a little bit, doesn't it?
Very much so, really. I would say absolutely don't go with a Liz Hurley safety pin type dress. You know, Liz absolutely carried that off. She had a wonderful plump boobs and a wonderful...
Well, she can still carry that off.
Oh, she's... But she's worked very hard.
She looks fantastic. I mean, I don't know if you've seen her latest pictures.
I haven't actually, Jen.
They look very, very similar. And right. They pose together in bikini and trunks.
Right.
Doing yoga. Lovely. And she's got the body of a teenage girl.
Has she? Oh, lucky thing. Lucky thing. Yeah. But certainly not the case for this Valerie lady. I would say perhaps think about perhaps taking a rain check and not actually going to the wedding, Valerie, because it looks like to me like you're going to spoil it rather. But it's very best of luck.
But general rule of thumb with not upstaging brides, I mean, just wearing very, very dull shades, would you say?
Sort of browns and dark blues.
Brown sort of cape or...
Okay, brown cape, absolutely, covering everything.
And you'd keep that on through the reception.
Yes, I would. And you could even get a hood over that with that cape and pop that over your head. So
will that not draw attention in that you might look like a Scottish widow or something?
I don't think that's a problem, Joan. Do you? I mean,
only in the sense that, you know, you're still somehow upstaging, even if you look unpleasant.
I see
you're
what
sort
you
of
mean.
Saying, "Oh, look, yes. I'm sort of the caped woman
from a pension company."
Yes, am I a martyr, a weepy mum martyr,
or some sort of witch figure?
Some eerie sort of premonition of things to come.
That's a good point. I think perhaps on balance, stay away, don't you, Joan?
Don't go at
all.
Don't
go. Pay for it, but don't go. Or, you know, if you do go, be very, very aware that this outfit, this Scottish widowsy, Grim Reaper-y outfit,
quite witchy, witch on a broomstick kind
indeed,
of look.
Is absolutely going to shock a lot of people, isn't it, Joan?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think it could be so frightening for everybody that you cause a heart attack, even potentially to the poor groom.
Absolutely. Who looks, he's quite a pale looking fellow, isn't he? And a bit pasty. And for all you know, hasn't got the strongest ticker. I mean, Joan, it looks to me, actually looking at this lady's face and the way she's looking at this young groom fellow in the photograph that she's enclosed at the wedding rehearsal. She's giving him quite a look, isn't she? And
God, I mean, her tongue's hanging out.
Tongue is hanging out, eyes firmly clamped on this fellow's crotch, and she's obviously just having all sorts of fantasies about what she's going to do when she gets those trousers and pants down and gets her you know, that purple lipsticked mouth around his genitals and organ. And perhaps the point is that she maybe she's hoping to give the daughter a heart attack, Joan, so that she can straddle her big old bottom over this fellow and get him inside her.
Well, yes, possibly. Or she's going to make him have a heart attack so that she can give him mouth to mouth at the reception or
bring
something.
Bring him back, be the hero of the hour.
Yes. I mean, this cardboard cutout she has of this celebrity boyfriend, I don't know, is it Tom Hardy she's got there?
It is Tom Hardy. It's either Tom Hardy or...
Tom Hiddleston, no, not Tim.
No, Eddie Redmayne or the... I don't know, it looks a little bit like that man that used to be in Robin's Nest all those years ago.
Richard O'Sullivan.
Richard O'Sullivan, was it?
I'm wondering how he looks a lot younger than her, though.
I mean, imagine it was probably a publicity still from
way
back when.
Unless Richard's had work done, which of course a lot of guys from that era are doing in order to get work during this time. The pandemic, trying to get acting work's hellish for everybody. So
absolutely.
I think a lot of these old guys are having all kinds of nips and tucks.
Yes,
you know?
I mean, you can't blame them. They look great and, you know, goodness me, that's a wonderful piece of, if it is him.
I know the one-armed chap from Robin's Nest, you know, the Irish cook. Do you remember
him? Don't remember him, Joan.
Oh, perhaps he was from George and Mildred, I'm not sure, but he's still working. So
Goodness. That's
good.
Well, that's an option then, isn't it? Lop off one of your arms and you might get some more work. Hard to say, really, isn't
yes.
it? But needless to say, I think, mum, best bet is actually just to lock yourself in a cupboard and keep out of it.
I think so, because you're just going to have deaths on your hands.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's too much for anybody.
No.
Thank you.
Dear Joan and Jerrica, my partner and I were enjoying a quiet evening in watching The Bodyguard when he asked if I would be interested in a donkey pot. Would be interested in a donkey punch. Can you elaborate for me? I'm too shy to ask him and I don't have many friends. Help! Shani Defra from Ormskirk.
Right, hello Shani. Shani, I beg your pardon. Hello and thanks for writing in. Yes, okay.
Well, I know there was a movie called Donkey Punch.
Yes, there was a movie called Donkey
Jane
Punch.
Jane Winstone was in.
Yes, I didn't see it, did you, Jane?
I didn't see it.
No. No, I don't know whether that was... Well, look, I mean, you know, my understanding of Donkey Punch, for what it's worth, maybe very different, I don't know, from the term that Jamie Winston would use, for example, but I don't know, is, as far as I understand it, that the man will... penetrate the lady, and then once he's inside her, give her a good old... once he's inside her, give her a good old biff in the face, which then tightens the vaginal muscles and gives him a good old squeeze, and then he can repeat that up to climax. I don't know if that's what your partner, fiancé, whatever, is referring to, but a lot of people enjoy it as a practice.
It's interesting. I think you're right. That's certainly one version of the donkey punch. I think there's another one whereby the man is behind and he's punching just the back of your head. There's another version where he's punching the back of your head and the front.
Right. That's the double punch, is it? The
yes.
double donkey punch.
Yes.
And of course, there's the version where you go out and you find a donkey and give it a good old punch and then bring yourself off afterwards, which a lot of guys...
But I think, as you see, I think traditionally the biffing in the face is where it's at.
Yes. So you've got a choice there, Shani, of a punch in the back of the head, a punch on the front of the face, or both sides. So your choice. Good luck. Hope it's fun. Enjoy.
Listeners may not know that we actually have a book coming out and audiobook.
Yes, indeed. So that's both in print form and in oral.
Yes, oral.
Absolutely.
We all love a bit of oral.
Everyone loves a bit of oral around Christmas, don't they, Joan? Oh, so
yes.
Hopefully that will satisfy those with the big oral appetites around the festive season.
Mm.
It's called Dear Joan and Jerrica, Do's and Don'ts from Dating to Death. That's
Why He Turns Away.
Indeed. And full of tips and ideas of how to keep your man happy.
Absolutely. Quizzes, recipes, stories, advice,
yes.
drawings.
Absolutely. Letters and much, much more.
Much more. Horoscopes.
Yes.
You name it, we've got it.
We've got it in there, including some very, very, very highly personal stories
mm-hmm.
and tales of our own.
Lovely.
Well, I think that's pretty much us, isn't
yes.
it, Joan? And we're going to leave you actually with something rather exciting and unusual. Joan and I recorded ourselves cooking a rather wonderful meal. And this is now coming up, Joan's wonderful recipe for seasonal inspiration.
Yum. Mm. Well, our next recipe this morning is one of my favourites, pan-roasted guinea fowl with the pomegranate
yes.
poffets and the spinach jus.
Yes, yes.
I love jus.
It's your great-grandmother who
yes.
kept guinea fowl.
She did.
Yes.
She kept them in the house and she bred them.
Mm. And she breastfed them, I believe.
She did.
Yes.
She did, which was very frowned upon
yes.
Within the village itself. But... my God, they grew big.
Yes, I remember you saying.
Yeah, she had them in the bedroom and all over the place.
Right, yeah.
But yes, so I have a real affinity with the guinea fowl.
Mm.
A love for them and yet a desire to eat them because
yes.
they are absolutely delicious.
They are, yes, they are.
And I think what people forget is their connection to guinea pigs.
Indeed.
And guinea pig is another thing that I love eating. People are very judgmental of eating guinea pigs. But you know, it makes my blood boil because, of course, it's fine to eat a chicken.
Absolutely.
Or a duck.
No.
Or a pig.
Yes.
Ostrich.
Yes.
Kangaroo.
Yes.
Dog, if you're in the right country.
Crocodile.
What's wrong with guinea pigs?
Absolutely. You know, rabbit, fine.
Well, yes. Exactly. So what's the difference?
Dog, suddenly everybody gets very squeamish.
I think it's the puppies. People, I think they're just sad about the idea of eating a wee puppy. But they're so tender. So let's talk about this guinea fowl. But obviously we'll pop in how you would substitute it with the guinea pig should the time come.
Yes, or a gerbil, actually.
Interestingly, with gerbils, of course, you always hear of these children squeezing them till their eyes pop out. Actually, that's what you need to do for this.
Yes, you do.
Some people like the eyes. I'd sometimes just have a nibble on them when I'm cooking.
Mm-mm.
But I don't like them within the recipe itself. I prefer the socket scooped out. And I just... So I start with just frying up the wee guinea pig.
Yep.
Really,
so you leave the skin on, I believe, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, and the fur.
Yeah.
It sort of almost crystallises when you fry it.
Yes!
Which
yes.
is really nice.
It's actually very tasty. Yes.
And it just got this really great texture of that burnt fur.
Yes.
Against a sort of, you know, the softness of the innards, really.
Indeed.
Yes,
it's sort of acrid. I mean, you have to get over the initial sort of acrid blast, don't you, when you pop it in the pan. But once you've done that, and also be careful because it can try and climb out. So you need to make sure that you've got a...
Yeah, this is like lobsters or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, how do you kill them humanely?
Yes, yes.
I've known people who hypnotise lobsters before allowing them to pass away peacefully.
Yeah.
And I think you can do the same with guinea pigs.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I do agree. It's obviously very nice for them to pass away peacefully.
Of course.
Depends upon your time schedule.
Absolutely.
If you've got the boss coming round to dinner, your husband's boss coming round to dinner, you may not have time for that.
No, and if you've got six or seven to pop in the pan at once, it's very difficult to make sure that every single one of them is, as you say, peacefully under and ready to, you know, pass through to the other side. You might well find that a couple in the middle are still scrabbling around and wide awake. But you've got a deadline, you've got to get on. So, you know, battle through and just make sure they don't leap out.
What I tend to do, if I've got six or more of them, if I was doing a bulk cook of this, which I would sometimes, I just get a wee pillowcase, pop them in, and just whack it against the wall. And that usually does the trick.
Yeah, it's a couple of whacks against a stone wall or a marble surface or a granite floor, stone step out the front of your house, whatever you've got.
And no one need know if that's what you're concerned about.
No, no.
But I really do think...
They're very quiet. And get the kids involved. I mean, this is a fun part of it. They can actually join in.
Absolutely,
you know.
And they love cooking.
They absolutely love cooking, but they will also enjoy the whacking the pillowcase against the lamppost or whatever it is that you've got to hand.
I tell you another great dish that I just love is owl.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are so many owls now. It's no longer used to be rather a no-no. They were dying out, but now you've got re-emergence of owl colonies, plenty of owl meat flying about up there. There's no reason not to pick off one or two if you find a nest to pop them in a cooking dish and pop them in the oven. Nothing tastier, to be quite honest.
It's a very tangy meat, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
It doesn't taste like chicken.
No.
Everybody says everything tastes like bloody chicken.
No, well, the owl doesn't.
No.
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 It's quite peppery.
Yes, it's peppery, buttery.
Obviously, again, depending on which part of the owl you're going for.
Yes, that's so true.
The cheeks are quite knobbly.
They can be. It can be. The beak, if you cook it right, can be absolutely lovely and melt in the mouth. But equally, if you get it wrong, you know, you can end up
with... It's like old man's toenails.
Yes, I'm afraid so. And that can get lodged in the throat and you'll have all sorts of...
I suppose your husband with his tracheotomy is what he can't have.
No, he can't have the beak.
No.
No, I mean, I sometimes crunch it up for him in my own mouth and give it to him that way. But otherwise, it's a no-no. Poor man.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.